Bringing you tag for swag.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak. This program is designed for English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear a report from my co-host Dan Novak and from Katie Weaver. Later, Brian Lynn presents this week's technology report. We close the show with the next part of our U.S. history series, The Making of a Nation. But first,
the world's animal populations have decreased by more than two-thirds since 1970, recent research has said. The report comes from the World Wildlife Fund, or WWF, an environmental group based in Switzerland. The WWF used 2018 information from the Zoological Society of London, or ZSL. The London group provided information on 32,000 wildlife populations, which included more than 5,000 species. The researchers found that population sizes had declined by 69% on average. They said loss of forests, human exploitation of the environment, pollution, and climate change were the biggest causes of the loss. Land use change is still the biggest threat to nature, the report said. It added, however, if we are unable to limit warming to 1.5 degrees Celsius, climate change is likely to become the dominant cause of biodiversity loss in the coming years. Andrew Terry is the Director of Conservation and Policy at ZSL. This serious drop tells us that nature is unraveling and the natural world is emptying, he said. Wildlife populations in Latin America and the Caribbean Sea area were greatly affected. The scientists said there was a 94% drop in those areas over 50 years. Wildlife populations in river and lake habitats decreased the most. Freshwater populations have decreased by an average of 83% since 1970. For example, one population of pink river dolphins in the Amazon River area of Brazil fell by 65% between 1994 and 2016, the report said. The findings were similar to those in WWF's last report in 2020. Terry said wildlife population sizes continue to decrease at a rate of about 2.5% per year. Nature was in dire straits, and it is still in dire straits, said Mark Wright. He is the director of science at WWF Britain. The war is definitely being lost. The report calls on leaders and governments to act to deal with the crisis. A nature-positive future needs shifts in how we produce, how we consume, how we govern, and what we finance, it said. In December, delegates from around the world will gather in Montreal, Canada. Their aim will be to create a new plan to protect the world's plants and animals. We are calling on the rich nations to provide financial support to us to protect our nature, said Alice Ruiza, WWF's director for Africa.
Astronomers have observed the brightest burst of light ever seen from an event that happened 2.4 billion light-years from Earth. A light-year is about 9.4 trillion kilometers. The scientists say the burst was probably caused when a black hole formed. Gamma rays are among the most intense forms of electromagnetic radiation. The burst was first noted by orbiting telescopes on Sunday. Scientists across the world are continuing to observe its effects. Astrophysicist Brendan O'Connor spoke to the French news agency. He said gamma ray bursts that last hundreds of seconds, as this one did, are thought to be caused when massive stars explode. Such stars are about 30 times the size of the sun. The massive star explosion, called a supernova, results in a massive black hole. A disk of matter forms around the black hole as it falls inside the massive object. Energy is also expelled away from the black hole in a jet. The expelled energy moves at 99.99% the speed of light. The gamma ray burst released photons carrying a record amount of energy. It affected long-wave radio communications in Earth's ionosphere. It's really breaking records, both in the amount of photons and the energy of the photons that are reaching us, said O'Connor. The scientist used infrared instruments on the Gemini South Telescope in Chile to take new observations recently. Something this bright, this nearby, is really a once-in-a-century event, he added. Gamma ray bursts in general release the same amount of energy that our sun produces over its entire lifetime, in just a few seconds, he noted. And this event is the brightest gamma ray burst, O'Connor said. The gamma ray burst was first found by telescopes, including NASA's Fermi Gamma Ray Space Telescope, the Neil Gehrels Swift Observatory, and the Wind spacecraft on Sunday. The burst came from the direction of the constellation Sagitta and traveled an estimated 1.9 billion years to reach Earth. That is less than the current distance of its starting point because of the expansion of the universe. Observing the event now is like watching a 1.9 billion-year-old recording of those events. Astronomers have the rare chance to learn more about black hole formation and other mysteries. I'm Katie Weaver.
A study has found that Russian information restrictions led a worldwide drop in internet freedom across the world during the past year. The research was carried out by Freedom House. The nonprofit organization is largely financed by U.S. government agencies. Freedom House released the results on Tuesday. On its website, Freedom House said it seeks to publicize the idea that freedom flourishes in democratic nations where governments are accountable to their people. Each year, the organization completes a report that rates the levels of internet freedom in 70 nations. The organization said its research covers about 89% of the world's internet user population. Just 18% of internet users are identified as living in countries with a free internet. About 37% live in nations where the internet is not free, and 34% are in places where it is partly free, the report says. This year, Freedom House said that overall, Internet freedom decreased across the world for the 12th straight year. The report covered June 2021 to May 2022. The nations found to have the least Internet freedom were Russia, Myanmar, Sudan, and Libya. The countries with the most Internet freedom were Iceland, Estonia, Costa Rica, Canada, and Taiwan. In at least 53 countries, users faced legal actions for expressing themselves online, the group said. In many cases, such legal actions can lead to long prison terms. In Russia, the government sharply intensified ongoing efforts to limit dissent within the country after its invasion of Ukraine, Freedom House said. The efforts led to the closure or exile of some of the country's remaining independent media companies. The report notes that a record number of national governments blocked websites with nonviolent political, social, or religious content. This action threatened citizens' basic rights to free expression and access to information. A majority of these digital blocks targeted operations outside the government's country, the report said. New national laws also presented additional threats to the free flow of information. Some of these laws sought to centralize technical equipment and establish rules to limit content on social media services. On the other hand, the report said a record 26 nations showed improvements in their Internet freedom. The group credits civil society organizations in many countries for improving the situation. It added that such organizations helped develop media resilience and ensure accountability among technology companies. In the United States, Freedom House said Internet freedom improved marginally for the first time in 6 years. The U.S. improvement came partly because there were fewer reported cases of targeted government surveillance during widespread protests that took place the year before. The group noted that the U.S. still lacks a major federal privacy law, and there was little progress on the passage of other legislation related to Internet freedom. Freedom House has long called for such government rules. The report named China as the world's worst environment for Internet freedom for the 8th straight year. Censorship in the country intensified during the 2022 Beijing Winter Olympics. It also increased after tennis star Peng Shuai accused a high-level Chinese Communist Party official of sexual abuse. In a separate report released last month, Freedom House said China had also taken steps in recent years to expand official efforts to influence media in a series of countries. The report examined how Chinese influence affected media organizations in 30 democracies across the world. It said that between 2019 and 2021, China intensified influence campaigns in 18 of the 30 countries. China's main goal, Freedom House said, is to influence public opinion in its favor sometimes as a way to get support for its investment activities in the target countries. I'm Brian Lynn.
From VOA Learning English, welcome to The Making of a Nation. I'm Steve Ember. We have been talking about Thomas Jefferson's second term as president. Historian Joseph Ellis calls it a disaster, defined by the trade embargo and the looming War of 1812.
He leaves office in 1808, 1809. He really wants to get out of town and sort of lick his wounds.
In the months before he left office, Jefferson had signed a bill banning all trade with Europe. No ships could enter the United States, and no ships could leave. The purpose of the trade embargo was to keep America out of the war between Britain and France. But the embargo slowed the American economy. Many Americans opposed the trade ban. Jefferson's political opponents, the Federalists, used the issue to increase their strength in northeastern states. The year 1808 was, after all, a presidential election year. Thomas Jefferson had served 2 4-year terms as president. No law prevented him from running again, but Jefferson had decided years before that a president should be limited to 2 terms. Without such a limit, Jefferson believed, a powerful man might be able to keep the position for as long as he wished. George Washington had served 2 terms and then retired. Jefferson would do the same. Jefferson's Republican Party chose James Madison as its candidate for president. James Madison was Jefferson's Secretary of State. The party chose George Clinton as its candidate for vice president. The Federalist Party named the same candidates it had chosen 4 years earlier, Charles Cotesworth Pinckney for president and Rufus King for vice president. The Federalists felt sure they would win the election. They thought that Jefferson's embargo on trade had angered the people and turned them away from the Republican Party. Even some Republicans felt the election could go very badly for their party. But Jefferson remained calm. He believed that most Americans understood what he was trying to do with the embargo, and he believed they would vote for his party's candidate. Jefferson was right. Madison was elected. Thomas Jefferson left the White House in March of 1809. He believed the nation was in good hands with James Madison. He returned to Monticello, his country home in Virginia, and never went back to Washington again. Jefferson, who died in 1826, spent his retirement years following many of his interests. One was architecture. Jefferson continued building and remodeling his home, Monticello, throughout his presidency and retirement. The design was influenced by buildings he had seen in France and Britain. Monticello appears on one side of the American 5-cent coin, the nickel. Jefferson's face is on the other side. Jefferson also spent a good deal of his retirement writing letters. Historian Andrew O'Shaughnessy says Jefferson was one of the great letter writers of his time. One of his famous correspondences was with John Adams. Adams was the second president of the United States. Adams and Jefferson had been friends during the first years of the United States, but politics had made them enemies. Their friendship ended after the election of 1800. Yet, in retirement, the two men became friends again. Jefferson and Adams had what Andrew O'Shaughnessy calls a remarkable correspondence.
They discuss the memory of the American Revolution and the history of it and how it should be written, but they also range over scientific and philosophical subjects.
Jefferson wrote about 19,000 letters in his lifetime. A project to publish the entire collection started in 1943 and is not expected to be completed until 2026. Jefferson also used his retirement to improve education in his home state of Virginia. Jefferson believed firmly in the value of education. His whole idea of government depended on the ability of citizens to make intelligent decisions. He proposed a school system of three steps. The first would be elementary schools, where all children could learn reading, writing, arithmetic, and geography. These schools would be built in all areas of the state and would be paid for by the people living in each area. The second step would be colleges, equivalent to the high schools of today. He proposed that 9 of these schools be built in the state. Students would begin the study of science, or would study agriculture, or how to make things by hand. These schools would be paid for by the state. The third step would be a state university, the University of Virginia, where students of great ability could get the best education possible. The university would produce the lawyers, doctors, professors, scientists, and government leaders. Young men whose families had money would pay for their own educations. The state would pay the costs of a small number of bright students from poor families. Jefferson also proposed that the University of Virginia be built at Charlottesville, a town near his home. Many of Jefferson's ideas for the university buildings came from the architecture of ancient Greece and Rome. Jefferson drew plans for the buildings. The buildings were very well designed. Work began on the university immediately, but it was 6 years before the school was open to students. Jefferson was there almost every day, watching the workers. He was quick to criticize any mistake or work that was not well done. When he was sick and not able to go down to the university, he would watch the work through a telescope from a window of his home. The cost of the university kept growing, and Jefferson had to struggle to get the legislature to pay for it. He also worked hard to get the best possible professors to teach at the university. He sent men throughout the United States and even someone to Europe to find good teachers. Finally, in March 1825, the University of Virginia opened. Jefferson's health had suffered during his years of work on the university. He was 82 years old and feeling his age. He suffered from rheumatism and diabetes and was so weak he could walk only short distances. He knew he did not have much longer to live. He told a friend one day, "When I look back over the ranks of those with whom I have lived and loved, It is like looking over a field of battle, all fallen. As his health grew worse, Jefferson turned his thoughts to death. He wrote how he wished to be buried. He wanted a simple grave on the mountainside below his house. He drew a picture of the kind of memorial he wanted put at his grave. On this stone, he wanted the statement, "Here was buried Thomas Jefferson, author of the Declaration of American Independence, of the Virginia Law for Religious Freedom, and father of the University of Virginia." Jefferson had been governor of Virginia, secretary of state, and president. But historian Joseph Ellis says it makes sense that Jefferson would emphasize his contribution to the Declaration of Independence.
Those are the magic words of American history. There's 55 of them, and they begin, "We hold these truths to be self-evident." At the time that he wrote them, he didn't fully understand how important they were going to be. But they end up becoming the creed, the American creed. And that's his ticket to fame, the basis for his lustrous reputation.
But Joseph Ellis points out that Thomas Jefferson's reputation has suffered, especially among many historians. The reason, he says, is slavery. Jefferson owned over 150 slaves at Monticello.
He wanted to take the high moral ground and say that he knew slavery was at odds with the values of the American Revolution and the American Republic. A lot of people said that who were slave owners. But in the end, he says the federal government has no power whatsoever to do anything about it.
Joseph Ellis says Jefferson was against mixing of the races in society because he thought it would threaten the American Union. But he is believed to have had a relationship with a slave named Sally Hemings, who lived at Monticello. In 1998, genetic evidence supported the idea that Jefferson fathered children with her many years after his wife died. The historian says one reason people still find Jefferson interesting is the contradiction between his words in the Declaration of Independence and his personal actions.
He is the most resonant figure in American history because he simultaneously wrote the magic words about freedom and individual rights and equality, and at the same time was embedded in the great sin of American history, slavery and racism, so that he stands astride the great paradox that is the history of America.
On July 4th, 1826, Americans began celebrating the 50th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence. But then, from Boston, came news that former President John Adams had died. His last words were, "Thomas Jefferson still lives." But Adams was wrong. At 10 minutes before 10 in the morning, on that same 4th of July, his friend Thomas Jefferson had died. Jefferson died at Monticello, in his bed, surrounded by his family. As the news of the deaths of the two great men spread across the country, the celebrations turned to mourning and sorrow. Jefferson was buried the next day, as he had ordered, in a simple grave on the quiet mountainside. Thomas Jefferson continues to influence the United States, especially his words about freedom and democracy. And Jefferson's influence remained especially strong for James Madison. The fourth president had to deal with problems with Britain that Jefferson was not able to solve.
And that's our program for today. Join us again tomorrow to keep learning English through stories from around the world. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak.